Welcome to We Chat Divorce, hosted by Karen Chalou, Legal Liaison, and Catherine Shanahan, CDFA. Each episode, we sit down with divorce professionals and industry experts to provide insights and frank discussions about real people, real situations, and real divorce to help you achieve your best life post-divorce. This episode of We Chat Divorce is brought to you by My Divorce Solution, offering divorce financial planning so clients can secure the divorce settlement they deserve. Visit MyDivorceSolution.com to request access.
Welcome to We Chat Divorce, brought to you by My Divorce Solution and hosted by myself, Karen Chalou, Legal Liaison, and Catherine Shanahan, Divorce Financial Specialist and CDFA. On these special explainer episodes, we answer the top questions about divorce, giving you confidence and clarity. And today, we're going to talk about the challenge of sharing children's expenses when co-parenting. We will discuss all the ins and outs to help you navigate through this very unique challenge. So let's get started.
Co-parenting certainly has its list of challenges. And one of them is, what does child support cover? And what do parents share? Doing the work of creating a solid picture of child-related spending reduces financial stress and helps you stay focused on what matters the most. Now, I know I say that and it sounds pretty easy, but the big question always is, what does child support typically cover? So typically, child support will cover shelter, food, and common necessities, some clothing, and their daily needs. But, you know, that's always in debate too, Karen.
It is, right? Absolutely.
So when we say shelter, it doesn't mean that, okay, you get your mortgage payment paid because your kids have to live there. But you do have to have a place to live. And that's why your living expenses have to be part of your budget when calculating alimony. But, you know, what are some shared expenses? That's always the big question.
Right. And, you know, just back to the food, sometimes food can be a shared expense, especially if a child has very expensive dietary needs or dietary restrictions. You qualify that under a medical expense and then put it on the table to share. That's becoming more prevalent these days for whatever reason. Maybe it's becoming more accepted, or maybe I don't actually know the reason why, but I'm seeing it more and more often.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
There's a lot of fad diets out there too.
Well, there's a lot of peanut allergies. There's a lot of gluten-free dietary restrictions. And I'm just seeing it more and more prevalent in our work. So
I don't understand that. What are you saying by their needs for dietary restrictions would be part of that expense? You mean like an extra expense that you would want to cover? Like if your child has special needs?
Yeah. So if their groceries or their food expense is very unique to them, meaning to the child, mm-hmm. and it becomes a major expense. Like sometimes I see for one child, for whatever reason, for whatever their diagnosis is, their food bill could be upwards of $800-$900 a month just because of the dietary restrictions.
Oh, wow.
And then mm-hmm. in those spaces, the parents will agree to share those expenses as part of the shared expenses, because it is very difficult to spend. And, you know, frankly, if you have a child with special needs, a lot of times they're staying with one parent or the other. It's just mm-hmm. more comfortable for that child. So that just tends to play through in that space as well.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because I definitely see that as a challenge, getting another party to help participate in that cost.
Yeah.
So definitely something to talk about if you have that situation.
Yeah. All right. So one of the main shared expenses is medical care, right? Mm-hmm. And that's beyond medical insurance premiums. That's your out of pockets. Every state handles that a little bit differently, just in that child support will cover maybe the first $250, maybe, you know, the first X dollars. And then the remainder is either split 50-50 if the parent's income is, equal. More equal, mm-hmm. Or they're shared according to the differential of income. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is anything out of pocket, prescriptions, doctor bills, dental bills, eye care.
And a lot of time, I don't see it in agreements that they say anything over the $250, which is covered under the child support, be split according to their income differential. You know, if you have a huge medical bill, how are you going to be equally sharing in that if your incomes aren't anywhere near equal?
Yeah.
It really does have to get be discussed so it gets into an agreement.
Yeah, I see a lot where the income disparity is quite large, especially in states that really are restricting the spousal support. So the spouse receiving support is very limited, but yet I'll see that they're negotiating a 50-50 split of out-of-pocket children expenses, and that's very difficult. So that's something you should talk with your attorney about managing that relative to the differentiation in income so that you have some relief there if you find yourself in that space.
I feel like a lot of people, they don't question it because you're sitting there and you're like, well, of course I'm going to share in the expenses with my children, right? Mm-hmm. That's a normal reaction when that conversation comes up in negotiations and mediations or when you're talking to your attorney. So the comment is, oh, you're going to share in expenses with your children if anything happens. Well, of course I would. But then you don't think about it. Well, wait a minute. Why is it being split 50-50 when mm-hmm. I have such a huge differential? Or like you point out, which we are seeing more and more often, alimony is being limited in a lot of states. So don't just assume that you're a bad parent if you don't agree to split these costs equally. Do what's financially smart.
And that's why it's so important to be acutely cognizant of these types of expenses when you're filling out your financial affidavit. And so mm-hmm. many people are filling out their financial affidavit in the beginning where they're just scribbling down numbers and turning it in because their attorney needs it the next day. But that's where all the exploration should be happening and confirming. That's part of the work that we do, really drilling down so you know what your future looks like relative to what your family spends to take care of your children. Mm-hmm. It's just really important. On the medical care, some states, every state is different, of course, but some states require you to present the outstanding medical bills to your spouse. And if they have not paid them by the end of the year, you have a very limited period of time to report that to the court for their enforcement of that reimbursement. And if you don't do it in that limited period of time, you lose your ability to collect on the share reimbursable to you. So make sure you ask your attorney what the process is for your county and your state so that you're very aware if you need to have the court get involved in reimbursements for you.
You know, that also holds true during the divorce process. I mean, you may go through the process 1, 2, 3, 4 years. I don't know. We see crazy things. But I also believe that if you are incurring medical expenses during the process, check with your attorney what's the time frame to get that reimbursed.
Absolutely. The next line item would be educational fees, various school-related expenses, such as school registration fees, textbooks, tutoring, school supplies. Not so much school supplies because both parents tend to have to purchase those, but things like field trips, yearbook photos, anything in that category can be considered a shared expense.
So, you know, that's a big, big, big topic because kids are so involved now, right? Mm-hmm. But typically I've heard that anything that school enforced, like if they have to attend a science fair for their class, mm-hmm. School related that the school is making you do, is supposed to be covered in child support. However, now there's so many things that the kids are doing. So you really have to have this discussion. You know where your kids are in school, or if your kids are young, you should look into what kind of activities they might be a part of, mm-hmm. and really have that extracurricular expense covered. Again, based on your income differential, you know, with sports, I say this all the time, you know, with sports, usually there's one parent who's more athletically inclined to have their kids involved, or even with piano lessons or dance lessons, any of
band.
That. Banned.
Banned's a big one. Yeah.
Yep. But let's just say I want my child to have the best bat there is out there. You know, whatever bat it is for baseball, and I want my kid to have that. And I think that he should have one every year. Well, let's just say my spouse doesn't feel the same way. Maybe we're just buying that bat on our own, or we're asking the other spouse, what can you contribute to this in fairness, right? So if I can only contribute $50, but my spouse wants to put in the other $150, well, let them do it. Don't feel that you are less than as a parent. Don't argue over it. Like, we can only put in $50 each, but don't expect your spouse to put in more than you can afford if you want the better item. So remember, true. At the end of the day, this is for your child. It has nothing to do with your child's using that bat. They're not going to think, okay, dad paid $150 and mom paid $50. They don't think that. They're just really happy that you two work through it to get in the bat that I guess that he's going to hit a home run with.
That's true. And Catherine, you often talk about, as the kids get older and their equipment gets more expensive, engaging them in part of the contribution process as well. Yeah, they're able to, right? They're able to make contributions as they get older.
Yeah. And guess what? Sometimes it's not just monetarily. You know, some kids do work during their breaks and they do, you know, save money, or they get gifts and they put that aside. You know, for me, when I grew up, it was, if you wanted that designer pair of jeans, save your birthday money. And then when you have enough, you'll get it, right? So sometimes it's not just monetarily. So for me, it was giving my kids chores so they can earn money. Or earn points or credit towards getting something else. So definitely set some standards for your children to be appreciative of what they're getting. But also, it's okay if one of the parents doesn't make their kids do chores. That's how they're going to parent. And you do. Don't worry about being the mean parent because you're making your kid accountable to get something that costs money. You know, so just think about what involvement you want your kids to have in the ownership of anything that they want or need, and it has nothing to do with divorce. Don't say, oh, but God, you know, mom took all my money, so make her pay for it, or dad's late on his payment, so we can't do that. They don't want to hear that. You know, simply saying you need to be accountable too here, or I don't have enough money at this moment, but here's how our family handles it. We're going to save a little bit each time and then get you this. Or you have to get this starter level and we'll upgrade it at some point when we have enough money. Don't make it about the divorce. Make it about what your financial situation is for you yourself.
Absolutely. It's how can we make this happen? So, you know, that's a really good piece of that, because whether parents are getting divorced or not, that perspective remains in the household. Right. There's typically a spender and a saver in the household. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the kids will assign that to just the relationship. And it's not a negative thing. It's just how the parents approach these types of expenditures.
Right. Exactly.
All right. The next line item is technology and electronics. This is becoming more and more prevalent. Any technology that your child may need, such as laptops, phones, earbuds, anything like that they need for school or for other reasons. Go ahead, Catherine.
I was going to say, typically that's not in agreements. That again goes back to our, how are you going to budget these items?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at least identifying it for discussion. Next line item is extracurricular activities, which we already spoke about. Mm-hmm. So that's good, including travel, right? There's a lot of travel fees these days. Next one's childcare. Any expenses related to tuition, camps, after school care, things like that. Transportation. If you live in a place where, you know, you have to purchase transportation to and from school, to and from camps or so forth, that can be on the table as a shared expense if both parents agree.
Well, let's talk about transportation a little bit in a different way, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Cars. I mean, you brought a point up to me. I forget what case it was. It was a while ago, about car insurance for children when they're driving. You know, you never seen agreements. Okay. When our children are driving, who's buying or providing the car for their child. But in addition to that, who's putting their child on their car insurance?
That's a huge topic. And most If people are divorcing and their children haven't gotten to that space or they're close to that space, they wouldn't even think about it. But historically, it was easier to get your child their own policy so they're not, you know, impacting your liability for your own policies that you can talk with your auto insurance agent about. But when we put kids on our policies now in 2023, 2024, or in this decade, your bill can triple. So you should just be aware of it. And again, it should be a topic of conversation between the parents as to how they want to support their children in this space. Because if they're over the age of emancipation, most states will not require the parents or even look to the parents to cover these types of expenses for their children.
Oh gosh, remember the case where both parties had plenty of money, child was on mom's car insurance, got into multiple car accidents, and she was losing her car insurance coverage, her coverage, if he didn't get off the policy.
Yeah. So it's a really important conversation that you should have with your auto insurance agent about the risk of a child being on your policy and what that means to you. You know, should you also purchase umbrella coverage, things like that? I don't want to go too far into this, although I'm a huge advocate of having the conversation, but it's really important for you to be aware of before you just sign up a kid on your auto insurance policy. It's a crazy world out there on the roads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, entertainment and hobbies. This is kind of under the umbrella of extracurricular activities, musical instruments, art supplies, things like that. Things like movies and recreational activities, those are typically not a shared expense. That would be, from my perspective, way too hard to negotiate.
Although I one thing that I did was have a credit card that you can use if your spouse agrees to split these costs or, you know, contribute more towards this stuff. Mm-hmm. If there's a credit card that you could use, and then it's so easy to track it at the end of the month, you could just say, here's the cost and let's split this.
Yeah.
So don't just keep handing your child cash. It's really hard to track. But also there goes an allowance. I don't know if kids get allowances anymore. But
no, so you're talking about giving your child a credit card to use. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if you and your spouse or your ex-spouse are co-parenting mm-hmm. well, and you agree that, because movies are expensive, you know, yeah. And then they start dating and take someone to the movies or to dinner. Mm-hmm. If you're agreeing to split some of these expenses, use a credit card that you both agree that this child can use or that you'll use towards these expenses that the two of you can reconcile together. At the end of the month.
Absolutely. And here's an added benefit to that. Because your children need to establish their own credit score and their own credit history, right? So if you mm-hmm. put them as a authorized user on your card and you give them a card, you're going to pay the bill. So this would presume that your credit score is good. They will benefit by having a credit history and a credit score. I did that with my youngest recently, and he has a great credit score now by doing nothing more than using the credit card, mm-hmm. which can be fairly expensive, but it's definitely something you have to monitor. But he mm-hmm. definitely benefited with a really good credit history. So he's starting off on a really good foot there.
Mm-hmm.
Pet cost, it can be shared expenses, you know, just very relative to if the pet will be switching homes and things like that. So, you know, sometimes parents will consider a pet the child's property. I don't know. You know, again, that's just something for communication.
Yeah. The only place I see that is when one parent was against the pet and the other one went and bought them the pet. You know, so a lot of times we all want to make our kids happy and we feel so guilty because we got divorced. And what can I do to make my child happy? And they want a fish or they want a rabbit or they want a dog or a cat. So what do? You go buy it for them. Well, who's taking on that responsibility? Even if the pet travels with them back and forth to the homes, if you didn't agree to that, who's buying the food or paying the vet bill or any bill for that animal that you got? So make an agreement before that happens so that you don't fall back into an argument.
That's so true. Moving on, high ticket expenses for special events, like proms, school dances, senior class trips. You already mentioned a car, just very special occasion, holidays.
Weddings.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll share a personal story here. So when my daughter got married, it looked like my spouse was paying for everything. What nobody knew is that we negotiated that. And I didn't have to run around and tell everyone, even though he wanted to tell everybody that I wasn't paying anything, or I promised to pay something, or I didn't. It was negotiated. But you know what? I didn't care. He was a good provider. Let everyone think he's the greatest guy by paying for this. I was certainly happy my daughter was getting the wedding she wanted. And you just got to step back. You know what your contribution was. I knew that I negotiated it with him. So I, in essence, was paying for it as well. But I didn't want to make a big deal over it. So sometimes just make an agreement and then sit back. Who cares what anybody else thinks? As long as your child is getting what you were hoping they would get, that's great. You know, it's the same thing with the cars. Yes, my ex bought my kids their cars. I was so appreciative for that. One, I didn't have to pay for it. And two, is that's what he promised them. I didn't promise that. But I was happy that my children had these cars with no debt over their heads. So I appreciated that stuff. And I think that you can appreciate what an ex is doing if it's for the benefit of your children. Forget about what they've done to you. Lord only knows I've gone through a lot. But I'm so appreciative that he provided for my children and they benefited from it. And that's all I need to think about. I don't need to think about anything else. And I think when it comes to all these expenses, Karen, that we're talking about, in our heads, whatever our personal feelings are towards our spouse, there is a reason you got divorced. Think about at the end of the day, is this benefiting my child? And is it better for me to do this no matter what for my child? And none of the other stuff will matter. And I think if you have that mindset, Karen, I think those spouses who may be able to afford more than you can will do it because you have that mindset.
That's so true. And getting it out on the table so you know what to anticipate, you know how to plan. And again, don't wait till the time of negotiation. You start the hard work of that, or I should say the tedious work of that, way back when you're filling out your financial disclosure. You need to know your numbers so that when it comes time to negotiate, you know what it looks like. You know what it may look like in the future, and you know how you're going to deal with it. Get it on the table. Get it out there for discussion for the children's benefit for sure. I just want to mention also that a lot of people ask me, well, you know, how do we do the reconciliation between the two of us? And every co-parent is going to handle it a different way, but there are a lot of good apps out there these days. My Family Wizard is one, Splitwise is another. You can find them all over the place. Like Catherine said, sometimes actually people use a shared credit card very specific for expenses because it just keeps a recording of everything. But, you know, think about it, talk about it. There are a lot of resources out there for you.
So we hope you now have a clearer understanding of why it's important to prepare and be your own advocate during this challenging process. Stay tuned for future episodes as we continue to unravel the fascinating world of finance and divorce. Remember, knowledge is power.
Disclaimer here, the information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial or legal advice. Please consult with professionals in the relevant fields for personalized guidance.
If you're considering divorce, make sure to protect your wealth with divorce financial planning from My Divorce Solution. Our certified divorce experts will help you untangle your finances and understand your settlement options so you can negotiate your marital assets with confidence. Protect your financial estate with divorce financial planning. Visit MyDivorceSolution.com to see if you qualify to work with our financial divorce experts. That's MyDivorceSolution.com for expert divorce financial planning. Thanks for joining us on another episode of We Chat Divorce. We hope this episode was informative and supportive on your divorce journey. If you're looking for more support for navigating divorce with confidence and clarity, head over to MyDivorceSolution.com for more podcast episodes, divorce events, and resources for your divorce. We'll see you back here for our next episode.